Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text, the last verses from the Gospel of Mark that we read today, Jesus said, "Let's go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that's why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is our text. Why are we here? Why are we here at this time, in this place, at this hour? We could give lots of reasons, I suppose, like, it's just what I do on Sundays, or my parents make me come, or a friend invited me, or I want to be with Jesus. Some reasons are better than others. We could also look at the third commandment. The third commandment reveals why we're here, from Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Martin Luther explains the third commandment with these words. He says, "We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it." The third commandment stands at the heart of why we do Sunday. The Sabbath is given as rest for God's people. You are here to rest. And to work, but to rest especially. And we can think of this rest in two ways. First, what we rest from, and second, what we rest in. When we think of Sabbath rest, we need to keep in mind these two things: what we rest from and what we rest in. So what do we rest from? Here, we rest from the sweat and toil of our daily work. Work is a good thing that God gives us. We were made to work, we were made to create, we were made to tend, we were made to serve, but we weren't made to be enslaved to work. Work isn't everything. So here we rest not only from our work, but we also rest from our worry. We rest from the burden of thinking that everything depends on us. We rest from the need to prove ourselves and to earn the currency of this world, whether money or grades or respect or love. We rest from sin and its wages, death. This time we have together serves as a much needed reminder. When it comes right down to it, we depend not on ourselves, but on God. Life here and life eternal is in his hands. And he cares for us. We don't earn his love. That's not why we're here. Nothing that we do earns God's love. But rather, we are here because he offers that love to us freely in Jesus Christ. And because of what Christ did. And that brings us to what we rest in. Here, we rest in God and in what he provides, especially in his forgiveness and eternal life and salvation. We were made by him and we were made for him. We were made to be his. We were made to be known by him and to know him and his love. Which means that to rest in him isn't a lazy or active thing. It does, or a passive thing. It requires us to be active, to be attentive, to be ready and willing to receive from him. You see, when I say that we come to rest, we are resting from the things that burden us, but we are resting in him, which means that it demands our attention, our focus. That's why Luther identifies preaching and God's word as the center of the Sabbath day. This day becomes holy as our holy God gives us his holy things. He turns us away from our work, he turns us away from our worry, and he turns us toward himself by his holy word in the holy absolution. With his holy body and blood, and in holy baptism, he makes this day. He makes us, our bodies, our lives, our time, and our work holy. So what sets this day, what sets Sunday apart for us, is that we rest from our work and our worry, and we rest in God and in his gifts. And yet, while the Sabbath is a day of rest for us, for God's people, it's not a day of rest for God. This is one of the main things I want you to see in the gospel reading today. A day of rest for us is not a day of rest for our God. Now, of course, God did rest. He rested from the work of creating. In 6 days, he made everything, and on the seventh day, he was done making new things. But he didn't take a break from being God. In fact, he still upholds the universe with the word of his power, and he upholds the universe every single second. If God stopped paying attention to any of it, it would just go away in an instant. His eye is on the world, and his eye is on the sparrow. We know from the scriptures that he numbers the hairs on your head. But not only does he number the hairs on your head, he also knows when one falls out. God doesn't take time off. He doesn't kick back and relax. God doesn't drop everything so that he can tune in to the big game. For God, it is always game day, and the ball is always in his hands. He is on the field, and he's putting in the long hours, and he's sacrificing his body for the sake of his team. And God is doing this for you right here and right now, today. It's what we see in the gospel reading. It picks up where we left off last Sunday. Last Sunday we heard about how on the Sabbath day in the synagogue of Capernaum, Jesus cast out an unclean spirit. I would imagine that was a draining thing and made for a long day already, but he's not done. It's not over yet. Jesus has more work to do. Immediately it says that he left the synagogue not to rest, but to do more work. What do you expect from him? My Father is working until now, Jesus said, and I'm working too. He'll have time to rest later. He'll rest when his work is finished, but not until it's finished, all the way finished. The day that Mark describes for us in Mark chapter 1 is a dizzying day. Jesus has a really busy and packed schedule. There are so many demands on him, and there are so many people clamoring for his time and his attention. He goes from the synagogue to the house of someone who's sick, and then before long, the whole city is gathered at his door, all looking for something from him. Everyone wants a piece of Jesus. We don't even hear when he rests, although it does say that he's up again while it's still dark, early in the morning to pray and start all over again. How does Jesus do it? Give and give and give. Sometimes we may be tempted to think that Jesus doesn't have enough to give us. We may be tempted to think that he can't handle our burdens, or maybe that he doesn't care. Of course, when we look at our own lives, sometimes it doesn't help. I look at my life and how I struggle to keep all the plates spinning, and then wonder whether Jesus can keep all the plates spinning too. Things fall through the cracks sometimes. Maybe it's that way for you. There's always something else that needs to get done. There's always someone who could use me. And we put the world on our shoulders, and then we project that guilt and that frenzy on Jesus. Why, we know Jesus is a busy guy. Maybe he's a little too busy for me. Maybe he's too busy for my problems. I'm not important enough, we think. He doesn't care. He doesn't see me. Really? Is that what you think? that you're too small and insignificant for Jesus. But just see what he did that day in Galilee. In a place that the world would have called small and insignificant, among people that the world would say are small and insignificant. And this is what he does. He leaves the synagogue and goes to the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. The disciples are with him. This is the beginning of their training. And he teaches them here, because he goes into that house where Simon's mother-in-law lies ill with a fever. And immediately they tell him about her. And he comes and he takes her by the hand and he lifts her up, and the fever leaves her. Jesus is setting the world right. He is restoring the creation, and he relieves this woman of her fever in an instant. But Mark isn't wasting breath. From there, he goes right on. By sundown, they brought to Jesus all who are sick and oppressed by demons. It seems that everyone is there. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, telling them to be silent. But it keeps going. And then early in the morning, he rises to pray while it's still dark. What is Jesus praying for? Why does he pray? Why does he begin his day in prayer? He's talking to his Father in heaven. He is praying for the strength to do his work, not only the work of that day, but the larger work that lies ahead of the cross. He is praying for his disciples. He is interceding for those in need. You can picture him bending down, kneeling in prayer, in his own flesh, carrying the needs and the sicknesses and the sorrows of the people before the heavenly throne. And that's where the disciples find him. They find him praying. Everyone is looking for you, Jesus. Everyone needs you. There are more people who are sick. And then they're off to the next town to preach, to serve, to love, to give. For that is why I came, Jesus says, to do it for them and to do it for you. He keeps going. He keeps going until the day comes when he cannot work any longer. When his work is finished and he is actually physically restrained so that he cannot do what he's done before. It's a Friday, the sixth day of the week. He's been awake the entire night, having been arrested, having been run through multiple trials, and then he's condemned to death. Truly, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And he hangs on that cross, and you know what he says. It is finished. My work is done. He breathes his last. It is over. And then he takes his rest. He spends the seventh day, Saturday, resting in the tomb. And there he takes his Sabbath. And then he rises again on the first day of the week, the first day of a new week, a brand new Sunday morning. He rises from the dead. And it's as if the disciples say, everyone is looking for you. And he stands on his feet and he continues his work in a new and marvelous way. He has paid for all sin. He has triumphed over the devil. He has overcome death. He is your Lord and your Savior, and he has won rest for you, his people. And he brings it all with him as he goes from place to place. Why are we here in this place on this day? At this hour, because it's Sunday morning and Jesus is risen, and he said, let's keep going that I may preach there also. For that's why I came out. Jesus, our Sabbath, who brings rest for our bodies and our souls. In his name. Amen.